walk in spirit is to live, move, even have our being according to the Spirit. In essence, it means that we live as genuine sons of God, matching our Father in His life and nature. It's for this we've been saved, and for this we've been positioned in Christ. So what is it that keeps this wonderful sonship from being our day-by-day, practical, real experience? Don't miss today's very helpful and enlightening life study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Francis Ball is back with us today. And Francis, I think we've posed a question that nearly every born-again believer has asked themselves, maybe their pastor, and probably the Lord Jesus several times. If we are really sons of God, why don't we live like His sons? How about you, Francis? Have you ever asked yourself this question?
Surely I have. I've wondered a lot of times if I really got saved, because my life didn't seem to be proving what I read and what I heard. So I have asked myself, if I'm really a son of God, why don't I live like one?
We do want to look at a few verses, at least a couple, in Galatians 5, before we get into the message that we have from Witness Lee. This is Galatians 5, verses 24 and 25. But they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Francis, let's go ahead and join Witness Lee.
Here in chapter 5, verse 24 begins with but they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. This but refers to the flesh in verse 19, and the works of the flesh are manifest. But they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. This word speaks effect of our salvation, that we are of Christ. Then we have crucified the flesh, an accomplished fact. This fact was accomplished not by Christ on the cross. This was accomplished by us. You have to see two facts concerning the crucifixion. One is the fact that Christ accomplished on the cross. When He was crucified on the cross, He has crucified our old man. So, Romans 6 says, our old man has been crucified with Christ. Christ on the cross has crucified our old man. And Galatians 2:20 also says, I have been crucified. This I has been crucified, not by me, but by Christ. Christ on the cross has accomplished the fact to crucify the old man and to crucify the I. And now there's another fact, that is, we have crucified not our old man nor I, but our flesh. We have crucified our flesh. These are two facts. One accomplished by Christ and the other accomplished by us. The first fact accomplished by Christ on the cross is the base. Because Christ has crucified my old man and I. So based upon this fact, I have crucified my flesh. So the second fact accomplished by us is just the application of the first fact accomplished by Christ. Here, Paul doesn't mean we are crucifying our flesh, or we shall crucify our flesh. Paul here describes a fact. That means all the believers, as a matter of fact, should have applied Christ's crucifixion to their flesh. Maybe, actually, as a believer for years, you have never done this. But as you belong to Christ, as you have been put into Christ, as you are one in Christ, you are one of Christ, you should have done this. So here Paul speaks a fact according to the principle. If you have never done this, as a believer, you are abnormal. Normal speaking, every believer who has been put into Christ has crucified the flesh.
Francis, let's talk a little bit about these two sets of facts that we've just heard regarding what has been crucified on the cross with Christ and who is doing the crucifying. Romans 6 says that our old man was crucified with Christ on the cross. Then Galatians chapter 2 says that I have been crucified with Christ. Now, this seems to be one set of facts where Christ has been crucifying us with him in his death on the cross. But now, this verse we read earlier, Galatians 5:24, clearly says that they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That seems to imply us. Why these two sets of facts, Francis? One in which he has crucified us and one in which we must accomplish this crucifixion.
Actually, there are three aspects concerning the experience of the cross. There's the fact itself, which was accomplished by Christ on the cross, and you alluded to that by quoting from Romans and Galatians. And our application of this accomplished fact is another matter, and even our experience, you might say, is rather a third matter, and how we apply this crucifixion to our living. Concerning the crucifixion, there are these two aspects. The first is that when Christ was crucified, he crucified our old man, and he also crucified the I, like in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The other aspect is that we have crucified our flesh. Now, this is quite something, that we are crucified with Christ, and yet we live. There is another aspect in which we must experience this crucifixion, and it's by our own crucifying the flesh with its passions and its lusts. And that's our application on our side. That's the application of the crucifixion of Christ to our life, to our flesh, and to all that comes out of the flesh. So we can say the second aspect of our crucifixion of the flesh is the application of the fact which Christ accomplished. So in our experience, we need to apply Christ's crucifixion to our flesh. Paul's use of the perfect tense to describe this indicates that such should be our normal experience, that knowing that we have been crucified with Christ, there should be this kind of crucifixion of our flesh on our part. But our application of that crucifixion is by the Spirit. There is a Spirit that dwells in our spirit, and if we, by that Spirit, would put to death the practices of our body, then we would be those who have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts.
Perhaps there's no greater torment or suffering in the Christian life than to try to deal with our flesh with anything other than God the Spirit in our spirit.
That's right. There's no other way.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee. This is, I think, very, very helpful fellowship. We'll pray the Lord continues to shine.
The New Testament tells us clearly in eternity past, before we have sinned, even before the world was made, even before the universe came into existence, in eternity past, God, according to his pleasure, according to his desire, he made a plan. He made a purpose. And the plan and the purpose is to have many sons. His purpose is for sonship. God desired in eternity to have many sons. And the many sons are for His expression. In the Bible, the real meaning of sonship is that the Son expresses the Father. No man has seen God, but the only begotten has declared Him. The Son is to express the Father. So God's purpose is to have many sons for a corporate expression, to express Himself. This is God's intention, and this is God's goal. So Ephesians 1:5 tells us God has predestinated us and sons. Now, in this book of Galatians, we are not law keepers. We are not slaves under the slavery of law, but we are what? We are sons of God. We are sons of God in Christ. For us to be sons of God, God did a lot. Firstly, God sent His Son to redeem us out of the law, that we may receive sonship. Then fallingly, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart to make the sonship so real and so practical. According to God's pleasure, according to God's desire, according to God's plan, God's purpose, God has no intention to save a lot of sinners, making them holy, spiritual, and so forth. No, that is wrong. God's pleasure, God's desire, God's purpose is to produce many sons. Eventually, we, the redeemed ones, the sanctified ones, will be in eternity God's sons. You read Revelation 21. All those in the New Jerusalem, they will be called the sons of God, not the people of God. Actually, strongly, we have to say, today, we are not merely the people of God. We are what? We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Why I stress this point? Because of the Spirit. For you to be holy, maybe you don't need that much of Spirit. But for you to be a son of God, for us to be sons of God, altogether the need is just of the Spirit. Christ came and He went to the cross. And He accomplished redemption that we might have the sonship. But this is not all. Then the Spirit came. And this time He came not to the cross. But this time He came where? He entered into our spirit. Not only just to regenerate us, but to make sonship so real and so practical. He, the second time, came not to the cross, but into our spirit to make us sons. The Spirit came into our spirit to make us sons.
Francis, I have a couple of points that I'd like to ask you about from what we just heard, and they're related, so maybe I'll just put them together and you can comment. First, God's intention is not just to save sinners, to make them holy and have them on their way to heaven. His intention is to produce sons. How is this different from this former idea, this more common idea about just saving sinners, number one? And then second, what is the role that the Spirit plays in producing these sons that God is after?
Well, these are very important points that you mentioned, that God's intention is not just to save sinners. I think we have to be very clear about this. He's not just after saving sinners and to make them holy and to take them to heaven, but he has a deeper, a more practical, and a more glorifying intention for his salvation than that. He wants to get into people by his salvation. That's what we call regeneration. His life gets into us. He gives life to our spirit, and he is the spirit now who is in us to fulfill all that he accomplished as Christ on the cross. When he died, he dealt with everything negative. When he rose, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says he became a life-giving spirit. Now this spirit is in us, and this is the carrying out of what has been accomplished by Christ on the cross in our experience, to carry out in our experience what Christ has already done. So if we realize these two things, we would realize God wants to have sons, not just sinners saved. To be saved is a glorious fact, but our salvation has a purpose in it, and that is that God could have many sons on the earth. That is, he wants to put his life into many, even millions of his people. The Lord Jesus wants to be and is the firstborn Son of God in his resurrection. That means there are many, many other sons. He wants us not to be just servants, not just to be saved sinners. He wants us to be the sons of God. That means there has to be the growth of the seed of the Son, which is planted in us when we receive him, until that growth makes us sons in reality, and we will see even in practicality.
Well, that's the perfect lead-in to the final section. We began the broadcast today with a somewhat rhetorical question, but maybe not that rhetorical. If we are sons, why don't we live like sons? That's really what we're going to look at in this last section and see just what it is that frustrates and hinders us from that experience. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The spirit of the Son is just the same to death and resurrection. And the Spirit came into our spirit to regenerate us and to make us sons of God in reality, in position, but not yet in daily walk. Walk by the Spirit. We have been regenerated, right? We have the sonship, right? We have even the position of the sonship, right? But actually, according to our walk, we still are not sons of God. Why? Because we don't walk by the Spirit. We walk rather by what? By the flesh. When we walk by the flesh, we are sons of Adam. It is when we walk by the Spirit, we are sons of God. Now, practically speaking, whether we are sons of God or we are sons of Adam, it depends upon what kind of walk we have. We all have been regenerated. We all have received the sonship with the right, with the position, even with the divine life. In life, in right, in position, we are all sons of God. But in our walk, we may be something else. You may be two categories. You may be sons of God, you may be sons of Adam. Whether you are sons of Adam, whether you are sons of God, practically speaking, this depends upon what kind of walk you have. If you have to walk by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. If you have to walk by the flesh, you are the sons of Adam. So the problem is the flesh. Now, how to deal with the flesh? Now, number one, you have a base. That is the cross of Christ. Cross of the Christ is the base. You, your being, whole being, have been crucified. You, your whole being, the whole fallen, tripartite man, was crucified there on the cross. That is the base. Not only so, you also have a life within you. You also have a spirit with you to execute the cross of Christ upon your flesh. So before you have your walk by the Spirit, you have to execute the cross of Christ upon your flesh. This is what it says, that all the believers who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. By the indwelling spirit and by the divine life, we bring the flesh and live there on the cross. And this is to have our flesh crucified. Whether it's a good flesh or a bad flesh. Actually, there's no good flesh. Whether it is a flesh stealing others, hating others, or helping others, or loving others. Whether that is flesh like a robber of the bank, or that is flesh like Plato. We have to execute the accomplished cross upon this flesh.
Francis, when we received Christ, we really received the Spirit of the Son into our spirit, in a very real sense, making us sons. We have sonship by the virtue of receiving the Spirit of the Son. But in our walk, in our living, as we've been talking, we don't act like sons that much, do we?
Well, that is the problem, Chris. I believe we all recognize, and even you mentioned this at the beginning of their questions, that why don't we live like the sons of God that we are? Well, first of all, we are sons of God by a new birth. Birth produces like beings.
Right.
When a birth comes in an animal, that's a like being of the animal that gave the birth. We were born of God by His Spirit. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He, as the Spirit, comes into our spirit and gives us life. Now, the fact is, we are, through that birth, we are sons. A son expresses the Father. The Lord Jesus came as the very expression of God. He's the Son of God. That means He's God expressed, and He's God made visible. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He's shown Him forth. So now He's the real Son. Now when He died and rose again, He was then identified as the firstborn, because God's intention was to have many sons matured through the operation of the Spirit of His Son in our spirit, growing, developing, until we could really express God in the same way.
Francis, compare that, if you would, with the thought about this matter of sonship that is often heard and spoken about in many Christian circles today, and that is that what it really means is adoption.
That term adoption has really caused a lot of misunderstanding in Christians' minds. They think as though we are still in our old Adamic nature and we are adopted by God to be His son somehow, and that we would be taken to another place eventually. But the real sonship is by life. We are born of God. We are His children by a new birth. Now, how to live out that life is our problem today. How to walk in the light of the fact that we are sons of God. As long as we live in our old Adamic nature, we are not the sons of God in practicality. Though, as we've seen, we are sons of God in actuality and in position. But to be sons of God, we must be led by the Spirit. Even Romans says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And Paul in Galatians, the book we're in now, says that if we live by the Spirit, that is, if we have life by the Spirit, then we should also walk by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. So the secret to our living out the fact that we are the sons of God is by the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit in our spirit. This is the real life-giving Spirit that gives us this kind of life for us to walk in.
It's not too much at all to say this. It certainly was Paul's focus with the Galatians over and over and over again. He points them back to this very thing, the Spirit.
Amen.
It's our sonship. It's the reality of living as sons. It's really our walk, which means it's our life, it's our living, it's our moving, it's even how we have our being. The Spirit is the freeing factor, isn't it, Francis?
We need to be very aware of the Spirit. Without this, we have no practicality to our Christian life.
Francis, thank you for being with us today. Our time is up for today. Another very helpful, not just enlightening, but this, I think, this fellowship today and the message that we heard and these verses, if you can spend time getting into these verses, really opening up to the Lord and letting Him shine and interpret them as He would do it through the Spirit, there is tremendous freeing and practical help in this message today. We also, of course, would encourage you to get what we feel are the very best resources available to accompany your own study, and that is the printed Life Study Message number 1. And again, we would like to recommend the recovery version of the New Testament as well, with the footnotes that open these matters up in the way that you've been hearing on our broadcasts in Galatians. Both of these resources are available to you. The recovery version, as we've mentioned previously, you can find at nearly any Christian bookstore throughout the United States. It's called the Recovery Version of the New Testament, published by Living Stream Ministry. And if they don't have it, they can readily order it and have it in just a day or two. If you would like to contact us about the printed Life Study Messages that we have bound together for our radio listeners, please do that. And our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can always write to us. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. Again, we'll be back tomorrow with another Life Study Message. We'll have more fellowship from Witness Lee, more of our own comments. Francis, you'll be back in a day or two, and we look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it also.
And we do hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.